Tonight I want to talk to you about the Roman prince who is the future Führer and this man that's going to come and that is going to help Israel to get their temple back. He's going to help Israel, I believe, to make peace with the Palestinians, and he's going to bring about peace between Israel and her neighbors and then allow Israel to be able to resume her sacrifices and rebuild her temple up on Mount Moriah. And the Bible says that this man is going to come from the people of the old Roman Empire and the people of Europe. And I believe he's going to be the head of the European Union. And this man is going to come to power and he is going to help Israel. And Israel is going to think, what a wonderful friend that we have, that we are now allowed to rebuild our temple and we're allowed to have peace with our Arabs, and they're going to recognize our right to exist. And there's going to be a Palestinian homeland, I believe, and he's going to help with that. And the Bible says in Isaiah, when this man does all of this, they're going to make a covenant with death, and there's going to be war that's going to follow this, and it's going to be a false peace. And so I want to look at who this man is, because he is called the Roman prince, or he's the head of the European Union as we've studied this. But I want to look at what the book of Revelation says about him. So turn to Revelation 13. And we're going to look at that in verse 17. I want to look at what the Bible says about this individual, because he's going to come on the scene and there's going to be a generation of Christians that you will see him. You will see him. You will hear about him on television, and he will have power over the world, and he will be a great leader. And we believe we're coming closer and closer to that day, and we need to recognize this individual and be ready to confront him and to overcome him, the Bible says. And so look at verse 13. I'm sorry, chapter 13 of Revelation, verse 1. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, and ten horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." Now, look, notice verse 2. It talks about the beast that came up out of the sea. "It said, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." By the way, this beast reminds us of the book of Daniel, where he talks about a lion and he talks about a leopard and he talks about a bear and so forth and so on. You see, this goes right back to Daniel. And the Bible says that there is going to be an empire that's going to arise, and there's going to be a man that's going to be the head of that empire. And that empire is called a beast empire. And God said that there have been seven beast empires in the past. All right, now what is a beast? A beast is an animal that can be very vicious. I would hate to be attacked by a shark. How many heard about the guy that was attacked by a shark out in the Pacific? It hit him and bit him and he lost blood, and eventually he died from blood loss just because that shark hit him. And my wife was telling me about this couple, and it was on a reenactment of a couple that got stranded and they were eaten by sharks out in the ocean over a period of time. Oh, what a terrible thing. Beasts can be merciless. And in chapter 12 of Revelation, God said that Israel is pictured there as his chosen nation. And Israel is pictured as a woman. A woman. And this woman is giving birth to a baby, and that baby is Jesus. And that baby is going to rule the world. And that's God's plan. By the way, God's plan is for Jesus to rule the world. But who does the devil want to rule the world? Well, he wants to rule the world, this beast that we're talking about in Revelation 13. God's plan is Revelation 12 for the child of Israel, the Messiah, to rule the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But for that to happen, Israel has to accept Jesus as her Messiah. And she hasn't done that yet. And the Bible says that there's going to be a 7-year period of time that will come. And after that 7 years of chastisement is fulfilled upon Israel, she will accept her Messiah. But listen, during that last 7 years, there is an individual that's going to arise out of the sea, and actually that's the Sea of Nations around the Mediterranean Sea, or the revived Roman Empire, which today we believe is the European Union, and there's going to be a leader to come out of Europe, and he is going to seek to rule the world, and when he seeks to rule the world, he's a vicious beast. And the empire that he's over is described as a beast. And it has 7 heads and 10 horns. The 7 heads refers to the 7 previous beast empires that have ruled the world and have tried to bite and attack and destroy Israel. Now, Daniel has 4 of them. And then before Daniel, there's 2 of them. That makes 6. And then there's going to be 1 that will arise later on. That makes 7. And then there's 1 with 10 horns. That will be an 8th. And we'll talk about that. But does anybody know the 4 beast empires in Daniel that were raised up by Satan to try to destroy Israel? What are those 4 empires, Eric?
4 empires?
Yes, sir.
Babylon?
Yes.
Assyria?
No, that was before that. Babylon?
Persia?
Persia?
Greece
and Rome. Very good. Now, he mentioned Assyria, and there's another one called Egypt. And Egypt, remember they tried to kill all the Jewish children? Pharaoh? That was a beast empire that Satan first raised up to try to destroy the Jews before they even got started. And that was the first one, Egypt. Then came an empire called Assyria. They came down in 722, and they took 10 tribes of Israel captive, and they tried to destroy it. They weren't able to do it. God still spared a remnant. And even though the devil may attack you, listen to me, even though the devil may attack your family, listen, God always has a remnant that he spares, and your job, if you are a remnant, if you are one of a minority in your family that loves the Lord and serves the Lord, your job is to pray for the other ones. Your job is to keep on living for God. God uses a remnant. And God spared the Jews, even though these empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Persia, and Greece, and Rome, tried to destroy them. Now, the Bible says that these empires would come and try to destroy Israel, and a man would rule over these empires. But I want you to notice this, what it says in verse 3. It says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And it says, "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who's able to make war with him?" Now, one of these beasts is going to be killed, and he's going to come back again in the time of the end. And he is going to be the one that's going to be the Roman beast that we're talking about right here. And I'd like you to turn to Revelation 17, because it tells you a little bit more about him, over to Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 7. Revelation 17 and verse 7. And look what it says. It says in verse number 7, "And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, what this is talking about, listen, this is talking about world government, and that the final beast, who is going to be the beast that will try to destroy Israel during the 7 years to come, that this beast is going to rule over a world-ruling empire, and it has 7 heads and 10 horns. All right? Now, the 7 heads are 7 previous empires ruled over by rulers that tried to hurt Israel like an animal would try to attack them. And look what it says in verse 8. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now listen to me. The Bible says that in the future, a man is going to come back from the dead. He is going to be a ruler over one of the seven previous beast empires. Now, what are the beast empires? Well, Egypt was Pharaoh, and then the next one was Assyria, and then the next one was Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar, and then the next one is Persia or one of the rulers of the Persian Empire, a man like Haman who tried to kill the Jews, and the next one is Greece, and we know from Greece came Syria, and Antiochus Epiphanes tried to kill the Jews, and then the next one was Rome, and we have people like Nero that tried to kill the Jews and tried to kill Christians, and then there was a seventh one, and it doesn't tell us who that seventh one was. That seventh beast empire was an empire that came, and the Bible says it would be here a little while and then it would be gone. And this beast empire would be after the Roman Empire. It would be after the book of Daniel. It would be while Israel was judged and sent out of their land sometime after 70 AD and before Israel came back into her land in 1948. Can you think of an empire that had a vicious leader that tried to kill the Jewish people while they were scattered from their land and appeared for a little while, it rose up, and then boom, it was put down or destroyed? What empire was that? What nation was that that tried to kill the Jewish people? Ralph?
Germany.
And who was the ruler?
Hitler.
Adolf Hitler. When he tried to do that in the 1940s, Hitler was defeated. In 1945, he died, listen to this, of a head wound. Now, the Bible says that the beast that is going to rule over the European Union and will once again try to destroy the Jews, that this will be somebody that lived before, and it'll be one of the seven rulers that we just mentioned, of one of those seven beast empires that tried to destroy Israel. He will come back again, but he will have had a head wound to his head, and he will come back again and be alive again. And it says when the world sees him on television, we believe, they will be like, oh, I can't believe it. He's back. Now, they won't know who he is until halfway through the 7 years. And at that time, the Jews will be totally shocked because they will have made peace with him. They will allow him to help them get their temple worship back and have peace with their neighbors. And they will think he's my friend. He is somebody that's for me. And suddenly they will realize who he is when he comes into their temple and takes over. And they're supposed to worship him. Now listen, there's only two possibilities of somebody that's had a head wound that died and that could come back from the dead of those seven empires. One would be Nero of Rome and the other would be Adolf Hitler. But let me ask you a question. If Nero of Rome came back, do you think everybody would recognize him? How many here would recognize Nero if you saw him on TV? All right. How many here would recognize Adolf Hitler if you saw him alive? And they could check out his fingerprints. All right? Now listen to me. You say, who is that individual that's going to make peace between the Jews and our Arab neighbors? Who is that European leader that's going to help Israel and say, I'm your friend. Now you can have your temple sacrifices and you can have your temple. Who is that individual? I'll tell you who it is. It is Adolf Hitler, but the world will not know he's Adolf Hitler when he does that. He may have another name, but it's going to be Adolf Hitler. You say, how can Adolf Hitler come back from the dead? Well, let me ask you that question. How can Adolf Hitler come back from the dead? By the way, how can God have a son who was born of a woman and God be the father? Well, God did a miracle. And Mary was pregnant and the baby was the son of God. How can Satan have a child that will be born and will grow up and will rule over the European Union and rule over the world? How can that happen? Well, I'll tell you what. Do you believe Satan has power? Yeah, God's going to give him the ability to do that. Hey, I'm not talking about Satan now. I'm talking about just human beings. Human beings have been able to clone a sheep and other animals, and they can clone that. And what do? They take the egg out of it, and they insert another apparatus inside of the cell, and they put it in the body of a female, and the female gives birth to that offspring, and that offspring is a clone. It's identical of the clone part of the body that was taken off an animal, and it's put into a womb of a female, and they have that baby. What's to say that Satan couldn't have somewhere a fragment from Hitler's body? Did they ever discover his body? What's to say he couldn't have a fragment of it somewhere? And what's to say that already that fragment could have been cloned and put into a woman's a body, and already that baby has been born? And when that baby is born, listen to me, what soul is that baby going to have? I'll tell you what soul. The Bible says it's going to be a soul of a person that lived and died and they went to the perdition. Their soul was in hell. How long has Hitler been dead? How long has his soul been in hell? About 60 years. But I believe the Bible says that there will be one of these rulers of one of these seven beast empires, and he will come out of the dead, and he will rule over the European Union, and he will be a friend to Israel, and then he will turn on them, and he will actually have an image of himself put into their temple, and that's what's going to happen in the future. And go up again to Revelation 17, and you can see it in verse 8. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." By the way, that's hell. And then he's going to go back into hell after he gets killed. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life. And when they behold the beast," and the Bible says that they're going to actually worship him. All right, they're going to worship this individual. It says in Revelation chapter 17, they're going to worship this individual that comes out of this place, and they're going to worship him. And by the way, they're going to worship the devil, because the devil's going to give them a power. Now, the Bible says that there's another man that's going to rise up, who I believe is the false prophet. He's a miracle worker. He's going to be a Jew. He's going to be an antichrist. He is going to tell people to worship Hitler. And he's going to make an image of Hitler, and it's going to be in the temple. But listen to me, that image is a collective noun, and the image of Hitler or the image of the beast is going to be in the possession of people, and all people all over the world will have in their house a statue of Hitler. A gold one or a silver one or some kind of statue that they're going to make of Hitler. And listen to me, that image will talk to them. It'll say to them, "Hey, you know, your neighbor down the road there, they don't have this image and they don't worship one of us. They don't worship. They don't go along with what we're doing. And I think you ought to get them killed. Or I think you ought to turn them into the government. And I think they ought to be arrested." And people go down the road to that house, and sure enough, the people will be in there. Now, who do you think talked to them and told them that? Mark? Satan or a demon? You see, the demons, listen to me, when anybody gets one of these images of Hitler in their house, and they'll have them all over the world, when they get that image of Hitler in their house, a demon will come in there and help to identify people that don't go along with his government, and they will be killed. That's why Jesus said that it's called the Great Tribulation. It's going to be worse than the Holocaust under Hitler the first time. When Hitler comes back again, it's going to be worse. You see, the Bible says the Lord Jesus is coming back again. I'm looking forward to that. But before he comes back again, one of these previous beast rulers, and I believe it's none other than Hitler, is going to come back again. He's going to rule over the European Union, although people are not going to know that it's Hitler. He'll have another name, another identity. But halfway through the 7 years, it's going to be clear who he is. And that's when the image of Hitler will be put up all over the world. And unless you bow down and worship and acknowledge that he's God, you will not be able to buy or sell or do any such thing. And that's why, listen to me, it's so important that at the beginning of the last 7 years that people recognize that even though he's not going to be called Hitler, that this leader has just signed a peace treaty with Israel and her neighbors that allows Israel now to rebuild their temple, and they'll know the beginning of the last seven has begun. And now we have 3.5 years until he is going to start this Holocaust. 3.5 years from that time. Now, listen, years ago, Hitler was going to kill himself. Toward the end of the war, he was losing. He was winning and winning the war until he started losing, and especially in Russia, he started losing because the Russian winter really defeated him. And you know what? It was said of Hitler toward the end of the war, his important thing was not winning the war. He wanted to prolong the war. Do you know why he wanted to prolong the war? He wanted to kill every Jew that he could. He wanted to try to kill all the Jews off from the whole world. You know why he wanted to kill all the Jews off in the world? Because he was filled with Satan. He's like the son of Satan. And he couldn't do it. He killed about 6 million of them, but he couldn't kill all of them off. Why does Satan want all the Jews killed off? Because Satan knows if the Jews turn to the Lord and accept the Lord as their Savior, then God reclaims the earth and the kingdom of God comes back to this earth, and he doesn't want that to happen. And so Hitler was going to kill himself, and he was prepared to kill himself, and his personal valet, the driver that drove him all around, went to him just before he was going to shoot himself, and he said, "Führer, what do we do?" And I read a book called The Twisted Cross by Joseph Carr. Do you know what Hitler told this man? He looked at him and he said, listen to this, he said, "Look for the coming man. Look for the coming man." And he wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking about this man that the Bible says would be worshipped. And the Bible says that the dragon or Satan will cause him to come back out of hell, and Satan will tell him, "Now this time we better do it right, and we better win over the whole world, and we better give everybody a mark that identifies that they're on our side. And if they don't get a mark, then we got to get rid of them, because we've got to stop the kingdom of God from coming to this world." And this is what this world is going to come to. The Bible predicts it in the book of Revelation in chapter 13 and in chapter 17. And the only way, listen to me, the only way that you can overcome the demons, the only way that you can overcome Satan, the only way that you can overcome the son of Satan, this man, Hitler, is that you have to have God's mark on you. And you know what God's mark is? God's mark is that you have to have the Holy Spirit of God living in your life. You have to be a born-again Christian. Because if you're not a born-again Christian, you will take His mark. You will go along with what He's putting out there, because He's going to give peace and prosperity. And the Bible says in Revelation 17, listen to this. The Bible says in Revelation 17 that everything is going to be from Iraq. You know, they're debating whether Iraq's going to be successful or not. Let me tell you right now. You want me to tell you if Iraq's going to be successful? It's going to be successful beyond their wildest dreams. There will be a day when Americans will go to Iraq for vacations. They will love to go to Iraq. People from all over the world will go. It'll be the richest place in the world. Do you know the Iraqi government right now is planning to rebuild the city of Babylon and make it the tourist attraction of the world? Saddam Hussein already started to rebuild it, but the present Iraqi government is now, they have plans to do that. The Bible says that Iraq and Babylon in Iraq is going to be such a rich place that people are going to make their religion all go around this. Let's all get along. Let's have peace. We'll all be rich. We'll all have the health care we need. We'll all have the money we need. We'll have no problems. We'll have everything we need. All we have to do is just go along with the world government. By the way, do you know Barack Obama said that he wants to tax, listen to this, he wants to tax Americans and give that money to the United Nations for world government. Now let me tell you something. He may have a good reason. He may think, well, we're going to help people around the world and help people that are poor, but that will not happen. The Bible says when mankind got together to build the Tower of Babel, God broke it up because he knows man is sinful. And if you try to bring the whole world together, which the Bible says will happen, they will make money their God and they will throw the God of the Bible out. And in order to go along with that one world government and that one world wealth of commerce, people will give up their convictions and they will take the mark of the Roman beast and they will bow down to his image and they will go along with him, and that's all going to happen. And those that don't do that are going to be those that are born again, and they won't be able to buy or sell until such a time as the Lord comes back to save them and to rescue them from this great tribulation that's going to come on the world. You can read about it in Revelation 13. You can read about it in Revelation 17. Let me just say this to you tonight. You say, Pastor, what's the best thing I can do to prepare for the future? Number one, make sure that you're saved. Make sure that those you talk to are saved. Because listen to me, if they're not saved, I guarantee you they will leave the church during that time, or they will take the mark. They will go along with the future Führer. They will go along with his government during that time. They will not listen to you unless you're born again Christian. The Bible says you will not be able to overcome that future leader. That's number one. You need to be a born again Christian. Number two, I believe it's very important that you're living by the Word of God. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That you're living by the Word of God, that you're putting your faith in the Word of God. And I'm talking about this King James Bible right here in the English speaking language. The Word of God, that you're living by the Word of God. Why is that so important? Because the Bible says that for money, people will give up the Bible. Remember Judas, for money, sold the Lord, and he said, hey, I'll sell the Lord out for money, 30 pieces of silver. But listen to me, God is the one that takes care of you. God is the one that takes care of you. He puts the food on the table. He takes care of you. I don't care how high gas prices go. I don't care how high fuel, food prices go. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, there'll be a time at the beginning of the 7 years when, because of wars and rumors of wars and disease and so forth, listen to me, food will cost, it will take one day's wage, about $60 to $100, just to buy one meal. Just to buy one meal. But wait a minute. God is the one that takes care of us. And we have to know that man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God is the one that provides for us. And you've got to know that Bible right there to know that, or you're not going to be strong like you need to be. And you need to walk by faith right now. What does that mean to walk by faith? You do what God tells you to do in this book right here, and you trust God to help you, and he'll help you, and he'll make a way for you if you do what's right. If you do what the book says, and if people in your family don't like it, you say, God said it, that settles it, I'm going to follow the Lord. And you take the persecution, you take the ridicule that comes with that, and that will strengthen your spiritual muscles right now. Because the Bible says that there's coming a day when we are going to have to overcome this one world wealth and government and religion, and we're going to have to overcome this one world leader, and we're going to have to do it through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood, and through living for him and taking a stand for him. And I believe that, listen to me, I believe that Christians that say we're not going to be here during that time, we're just going to disappear before that time, they do not have the Bible. And I'll close with this. Turn to 2 Thessalonians real quick. 2 Thessalonians. And look what it says in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians real quick in chapter 2. He says in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken by mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." That's talking about the day that Christ returns. He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Now listen, that falling away first are when the Jewish people give up land for peace and they make a peace agreement with their neighbors, and through the help and the protection of a future European leader that I believe will be Hitler in disguise. And it said, "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And he's going to be revealed 3.5 years later. It says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." Look at verse 4. "Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God." That hasn't been rebuilt yet, but look for the temple to be rebuilt shortly in Jerusalem. "Showing himself that he is God." Showing himself that he is God. And then notice what it says in verse 8. It says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume." And look at verse 9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." The Bible says that the Jewish Antichrist will do miracles. He'll call fire to come down from heaven. And he'll say, "Hey, you need to worship this man, because he's going to bring us peace and he's going to bring us prosperity." And they're going to be worshiping the devil's man, Hitler, come back from the dead. And he's going to be after no good. But he will give people peace, and he will give them prosperity if they go along with him. Listen, are you saved? Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Do you know that Jesus is in your heart? If not, you need to get saved, because you're not ready for the end times. You're not ready for these last days when the Bible says perilous times will come unless you're saved. If you're not saved, call upon the Lord right now to save you and come into your heart and make you a born-again Christian. I was just out tonight, and I was up in Walsh Plaza picking up young people. And I had a group of young people, and I told them how to get saved. And a couple of them prayed to receive Christ. And one kid came up to me, and he says, "Pastor," he said, "I want to go to church." He said, I want you to know about that I just prayed to receive Christ. And I took his name down. He gave me his phone number. He wants to come out. I believe that we don't know how much time we have left, but we know the storm is coming. We know that the Satan's man is coming back. They thought they got rid of Hitler, but he's coming back. I'm sorry to tell you that, but he's coming back. But wait a minute. Hitler is no problem for Jesus. He's more powerful than Hitler. And the Bible says he's coming out of hell, but it says he's going into hell. And this time he's not coming out again. He's in for the count. But if you're saved, you don't have to worry about hell. You have an eternity with the Lord. Now, you can have all the wealth in the world, and you can have all the peace in the world. It's not going to even last them 3.5 years, the Bible says, because once he comes to power, the Lord's going to cut his reign short, and it's not even going to last for 3.5 years. And so those people that took his mark, that they're going to be damned. Once you take his mark, you can't be saved, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. You're damned. You're going to be deluded. You're not going to get saved. And it's too late. And so for a little bit of peace and a little bit of prosperity, they took the mark of the beast and sold out to him. And now it's too late for them. And that's why it's so important right now that we finish the work that God has given us to do. Be faithful to the end. Whether you die before Jesus comes or you're here when he comes back, you serve him to the end. And he'll make a way for you, no matter what. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about the Roman prince as a future Führer. And we said we believe, based on what the Bible describes this man, he's going to be able to speak and have power of demons to make the masses listen to what he says. And that reminds us of Hitler. I wonder, are you saved? If you're not, Would you call upon the Lord to wash your sins away? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've never been saved, would you come to Jesus tonight and say, Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to be part of the kingdom of the beast. I want to be in your kingdom, Lord. I believe you died and rose again. I accept you as my Savior. If you do that, the Bible says the Lord will save you. And He'll come into your life, and no matter what happens, you will not take the mark of this man. You will not be Satan's property, because Satan cannot claim you once Jesus has saved you. But tonight, call upon the Lord to be saved. And now, child of God, if you are saved and you come here tonight and you're a child of God, listen, draw near to God. The Bible says He'll draw near to you. Walk with Him today and you'll be where you need to be tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about all these things. God knows what you need. And He is all that you need. He'll make a way for you, and He provides for His people. And just realize that, and right now, learn to walk by faith and strengthen your faith in the Lord. One more thing I want to say. If you have unsaved friends, and you have unsaved family members that need the Lord, listen to me, don't weaken your testimony. Don't get upset at them. Don't get worried about them. Just stay in the will of God. That's the best thing you can do for them. Stay where you need to be, and God will use that in their lives. But if you get all distracted and all worried and then you get away from the Lord, you're not going to help them at all. You've got to stay close to Jesus and keep your eyes on Him. And that's the best thing you can do for your family tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have made it clear to us in Your Word what's going to happen. And Lord, that the Word of God is getting out and we're hearing it. And Lord, we thank You that You help us to get prepared and You give us a place of salvation. I think of Noah who had the ark, Lord. And I think of us, we have Jesus as our salvation. And Lord, we thank You for those that have gotten saved. And now we just pray, Lord, You'd help us to finish the work that You have for us to do. Help us to be faithful. Help us to stay close to You in these last days, Lord, and not to get discouraged by the rising food prices, by the rising fuel prices, by the difficulties around us, not to get all worried like the world, Lord, but we just pray we'd have Your peace in our hearts, knowing that You will take care of us because You promised it. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.